There's more for your life at Sears. We're talking holiday shopping and Christmas wish books. Hit it. Was the 1980s. The computer was named Time Magazine's Man of the Year. Swatch introduced their watches. The site of the original Globe Theater was discovered by archaeologists in London. And Christmas shopping was a whole process that started each year with a wish book and ended at the mall. I'm your host, Jerry D, with another episode of Totally Rad Christmas, the podcast that talks all things Christmas in the 80s. Toys, movies, specials, music, and fads. If it was gnarly during Christmas in the 80s, we got it covered. Now, joining me is a very special guest, Vinny Brzezinski. Vinny, how's it going?
Good, Jerry. How are you doing?
You know, I'm doing as good as can be in this year. It's been a crazy year, so I can't complain too much, but I can complain a little bit.
Yeah, at least we're in July. We got our Christmas in July going, right?
Oh, I know. I can't wait. It's we have at the store, we're doing a whole thing, and here, we're probably not going to put anything up because my wife doesn't like to, but I'm going to sneak a couple of decorations here and there. So I think I'd get away with a few more 80s Christmas things than just regular Christmas things. And she indulges me at least in this podcast. So there's that. Oh, man. But so today you actually requested this topic, and I thought, well, you know, who better to talk about it than with my friend Vinny? So what is it about Christmas shopping and holiday shopping and wish books and all that kind of stuff really appeals to you? Like, what are your initial thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big 80s kid, right? I was born in January 1980, so I've got the full decade in.
Right on. I was February 1980, so I'm right behind you.
But it's one thing I remember about Christmas time is always, you know, going shopping at the malls or the Christmas wish book. You know, I was talking to my wife and her big thing was, you know, after Thanksgiving dinner, the first thing you do is you get the wish books and you go in, you circle them. And
yes,
you know, it was the best thing to do, especially I grew up in a small town, right? So you probably seen heard of The Office, right? So I grew up in the Scranton area. In
Pennsylvania. Okay. Okay.
But there's nothing around, right? So the closest mall was like 30 miles away. And, you know, you had your other smaller stores before the Walmarts and the Targets were big. But you'd go to the mall once in a while, but it just got so busy. So the big thing was, hey, look, here's this book. Let's circle, you know, go through. And, you know, back in the day, I knew they were big, but some of those videos you sent me, they were 700 pages. They were ridiculous. Like, and just some of the things that were in there, I'm like fruitcakes and random, you know, popcorn balls and
Christmas
decorations.
It's huge. The variety. I mean, they got everything in there. And I don't remember like half of that stuff being in there, honestly.
No, me neither.
Like most of it. I mean, of course, most kids, we'd go straight to the main toy section. And then you'd kind of skim through to make sure you get all the rest of the toys that are buried in between some of the other stuff. But for me, I mean, I remember clothes. I remember jewelry. I didn't remember tools. I didn't remember furniture and
another one, going through phones, right? The phones that go on the wall or those clear phones. I'm going through it. I'm like, is that a phone section? And I'm like, I forgot there was wireless, you know, the cordless phones or, you know, the big craze was back in the 80s. If you remember, it was like the clear phone with the neon. All through it.
Yeah.
Or the Sports Illustrated guy to get you the football phone.
The football phone, of course. There. Yeah.
What is this?
And it's so funny now because our phones are basically like mini computers, you know, and back then it was literally just a thing on a wall that you would use to call someone and who knew who it was on the other end of the line, you know?
But like, and you probably know this too, but when you started, it was started, I think, you know, you had your JCPenney and Sears, but then later down the line, it was Toys R Us and all these other ones. By the time I think the 90s rolled around, there was like four or five of them. And it was like, which one do you go to? You're just, you know, you're piling through. But, you know, you take advantage of the internet now, right? Hey, I can look on here, but like kids don't know what it was like back in the day. You had to go to these books to know what was out there. Now you had your TV commercials, right? Cabbage Patch Kids, Teddy Ruxpin, My Buddy. You had all those big commercials, but if you wanted stuff that was kind of off the grid, you would probably remember Nintendo. The way mm-hmm. you got Nintendo was you either went to a Toys R Us or something of that nature, or you'd mm-hmm. flip through that book and there'd be a photo, and you had to judge from a single photo. That's probably the worst part of the video game.
Well, and the worst was like when you get a game, my brother and I talked about it on that episode, but like Mega Man, the cover art is like nothing like the actual game. I mean, it's like, just this weird dude in blue and gold, and there's no gold in Mega Man, and just weird background. So you kind of are basing everything, especially like you're saying Nintendo games, you're basing it off that cover art, which, I mean, who knows? It could have nothing to do with the rest of the game. So yeah, it was basically a leap of faith, and you hoped that it was fun.
Yeah, and renting the game is back in the day. Remember, you'd go do like a Blockbuster or the local Hollywood Video or whatever it was,
and
you
just have to go Hollywood Video
cover art turn. Okay, yeah, this looks good.
Yeah, I think it's all right. Yeah,
it's either a hit or a bit miss. I remember my mom would be like, "You just rented that, and you stopped playing," and I'm like, "Well, it's horrible."
Yeah,
like, you're never renting another one again. Well, yeah.
I made that mistake with the X-Men Nintendo game.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember it was like the hardest, most ridiculous game ever. And I stopped playing it after like 10 minutes of trying. And it's funny because the Wolverine one was pretty good. But the X-Men one is just...
Wasn't that around the same time that the video game was out too? You go to the arcade and play it. And, lines up the wall to play this that arcade game. And you're like, yeah. And you get it home and it's... Boo.
Yeah, it was terrible. Yeah, it's one of those things that I remember very distinctly. Like you said, you'd get the wish book, you'd circle all the ones you wanted. Sometimes if you were daring, because it depends on how the mood of your parents, but sometimes you'd rip the pages out and like give them to them as well. Like, no, this is the one I want. See the one that's circled? And it was like this whole experience that, nowadays you don't get. It's like, let's go to Target. Okay. Oh, you see the toys there. And then that's about it.
And one thing that's, it's so big difference now is if you're like a sports fan, right? So growing up where I grew up in like Eagles and Steelers and Giants territory, and I was like a Green Bay Packers fan. So the only place I can get this stuff was from the Sears or JCPenney wish book. Right.
Yeah.
And you probably know growing up down in, at Southeast Texas, mm-hmm. If you were looking for a different team beside maybe the Cowboys or I think it was probably the Oilers at the time.
The Oilers. Yeah.
Yeah. You couldn't get anything else. And it was, and if you were that fan, you that's what you got. I remember the one time and I just got this basic shirt from my uncle who was traveling in Green Bay, and I was like, yes, it's not something that's out of the book. It's something different where, you take advantage of it now. And in late 90s, you would start to get those sporting catalogs from and all those other ones where you can get something different. But you had JCPenney, and if you went to a local mall, it was local stuff. You had nothing else to choose from.
That's true. And everybody else had the same stuff.
Yep. You went into school, you're like, yeah, I got my Christmas present. There's like five people wearing the same exact thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So like you mentioned, I am from South Texas. And so the closest like basketball team was like the Spurs. Of course, they're in San Antonio. So that was like 4 hours away. Yep. The closest baseball team was like the Astros. So again, that was like 5.5, 6 hours away. I mean, all these, you couldn't really get a whole lot of variety. And so you'd kind of end up going for like, well, there's a local minor league team here. I guess I could do that, or something, or like, you go for like a G.I. Joe shirt instead. Cause at least that's available.
But when you went to the malls, right? So you had your basic stores, mm-hmm. you had JCPenney, you had Sears, you had,
Dillard's,
you had Macy's later on. We had Bon-Ton, stuff like that. But they all had the same stuff. Nothing was different.
Yeah.
It was still like the thrill of the hunt, right?
Yeah.
I want to get something different. I want to go to a different store, and you go find something and you're like, whoa, that's crazy. But you just take advantage for it now. Cause right now, especially with everything going on, hey, I ripped my favorite shirt. Let me go on, click a button, and it's here in 2 days.
And it's here. Yeah. Yeah.
No, you had to either drive an hour to the mall where I was, Or if you did use these wish books, they came, what, 2 weeks later?
Normally? Yeah.
So it wasn't like an overnight thing. And they, remember, they used to have forms. You used to fill out
forms. They did. Yeah, you're right.
You'd have to go, and then you can call it in, but you can, it was also a mail-in form.
I think
it was actually postage was free. You just had to take it and mail it, you know, put a letter on it. But yeah, you could mail it in. When's the last time you said, yeah, I'm going to mail something in to get, you know, to get some type of merchandise?
That's crazy. Yeah, you don't really see much of that anymore or at all. And, you know, it's funny that you're talking about all the stuff because same thing. We didn't have, we had like two malls close by. Then there was another one that was like 45 minutes to about an hour away. And then there was another one that was like another like 2 hours away or something. But what I remember is that there was the kind of crummier mall, like the older mall. And then there was the newer mall. But even the newer mall only had, same thing, JCPenney's, Dillard's, Sears. And I remember that they actually did have like a toy section back in the day. And of course, it was still small compared to the others, but you could go to the toy section and sometimes see some of the stuff that wasn't in some of the other places, you know? So it was always just it was like you said, a hunt, but it was like a real discovery trying to find, okay, am I going to see that toy that I want here? Or am I going to have to mail it in? I'm like, I don't know. And you'd go and look and... And of course, most of the time it wasn't there, but they just had like the basics, like Scarlet, Duke, Optimus Prime. But like some of the other ones, I mean, like you couldn't find Dinobots there.
But yeah, so we were kind of the same way. We had a couple malls, and I'm making like a Mallrats reference here, but like the dirt mall. So yeah. it wasn't like a secondhand store, but it was like really small, like local chain stores. We had one where there was, you know, you go to this and there'd be a grocery store, and like there was one called like GB's. It was a local thing, but it was like a, I don't know, they still have Value Cities. It was kind of like a Value City.
Okay.
I think there's something in the Northeast, but you know, it was a Walmart before it was a Walmart, but smaller. But you'd have your big malls, and then you would go to this little mall where it's just like, you go in there, there's not much there, but you always found some hidden gems.
A few things, yeah.
They normally had like good Christmas decorations there too. You would go there and you'd be like, oh, lights are on sale for like $3. Get, you know, 3 strands for $10. Hey, yeah, let's just pile up. Who cares if they last a year, right?
Well, yeah, pop a fuse. We'll yeah. Yeah, definitely not the LED stuff we have now. But, no. but yeah, it's funny you mentioned that because I remember at our, you know, quote unquote dirt mall, we actually had, there was an arcade there, and that's where like, growing up, we would go to that arcade, you know, and there was kind of one at the newer mall too, but it wasn't as popular as like the older one. And I think it was called the Gold Mine or something like that. And so you'd go to the Gold Mine, and it was just arcades and arcades and arcades. And it was like that in a movie theater. And I think Montgomery Ward. And then like, that was it, you know, it's nothing really a whole lot there except for like a couple of clothing stores. A lot of the not as name brand kind of stuff. And, but then you'd go to the newer mall and we had, service merchandise and, you know, Sears, JCPenney's, KB Toys. Do you remember KB Toys?
Yep.
That's another one. And then later on when Circus World came around, that was there. I mean, so that was like the mall that we would go and sometimes get some of the stuff that we couldn't find. And every once in a while we'd find like some of those hidden gems that we were talking about from those wish books there, but
you know, you don't understand how key those arcades were back in the day, especially around Christmas time. So your mom would give me like, oh, hey, here's $10, go play video games. And then, you know, she would get the Christmas shopping done, not having to worry about you be like, oh, let's get this. And everyone's like, you're gonna leave a 7-year-old kid alone at the arcade. My mom's like, he'll be fine.
You could do that back in the day, you know. It's like, yeah, okay, whatever, just, you know, don't go anywhere, don't leave the arcade, okay. And we were safe. And like, yep. Nowadays, I mean, I wouldn't think twice at all about, I wouldn't think at all about leaving. I definitely would think twice about it. So, but yeah. I wouldn't think at all about leaving my child alone, especially like an 8-year-old. I mean, that's just, it's crazy. But no, back
everyone
then,
did it. So it's just kind of like,
exactly.
You were there, and you know, it wasn't the biggest arcade, and that's where you would have to wait and just be like, oh, here, I'll put a quarter.
You put the quarter in your spot. Yep.
You're waiting like 10, 15 minutes to play. And by the time the parents would come back and say, are you ready to go? I'm like, I still have $3 left. You can use it next time. Let's go. It's been an hour. And I'm like, oh, okay.
All right. Yep. So yeah, we're talking shopping in general. We'll talk. We'll get to Black Friday, and we'll get to, you know, as we get closer to Christmas and malls and things like that. But I kind of want to start talking first about the Wish Book itself, and we've touched on it briefly. But it was started by Sears. Sears was really the first one to kind of come out with it. And they did it in the 30s, which I thought was kind of cool. And it started off with like a 75 page. Just a little 75 page thing. And all of a sudden it kind of morphed to where years later it was, you know, 800 pages. And it's one of those things that, you know, you look at the history of it and it was just really, you know, cause that's mostly what Sears did. They were a catalog type store. And so it was just an extra way. It was called the Sears Christmas Book, just an extra way to make a little more money. But later on, there was literally so many IPs, especially when we're talking 80s. I mean, just talking toys, I mean, you have like G.I. Joe, Transformers, Voltron, Mask, Thundercats, He-Man, you know, and that's just like the big six there, whatever. That's not even counting like all the more obscure ones that you mentioned, like Jason, the Wheeled Warriors, or like Sektars, or, you know, all these other ones that I never really got into. But it became such a thing that the Sears Christmas Book eventually morphed into, in 68, it became the Sears Wish Book. And it stayed that way up until about 93, when they finally really discontinued it. And it only lasted like a couple of years. But back then it went from like 800 and something pages, 834 pages down to like 150 the very next year in 94. So it's just, I guess they realized they were just spending way too much on printing and, you know, all that kind of thing. But Go ahead.
I'm curious to know what in like the 1930s when they came out, what there was 35 pages of back then. You know, was it just clothes? I mean, yeah, we went to do a Rocky reference, you know, maybe cans of Simonides, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Stuff like that. What was really in there? Bowling balls, you know, a Zeppelin? I mean.
So the main highlights were actually, and I'm glad you brought that up, the main highlights were a Miss Pigtails doll, which I'd never heard of, 5-pound chocolate boxes. So that's a lot of chocolate. Live singing canaries. Those are like the big three out of those 78 pages. And then I imagine there was a few other things like, you know, maybe watches and some clothes and stuff like that. But those are like the big highlights of it. And then of course you get from that into like 100 pages of just toys, which I think is just crazy. But I mean, can you imagine like looking in a catalog and seeing a canary and being like, "Mommy, I want a canary." And then you mail away for it.
I'm going to have to look that up, that it's one of the popular toys.
How do they deliver a live singing canary?
Yeah, man. Seriously.
That's a little suspect to me. I don't know.
I don't know. That'd be like going into the 80s book and, you know, ordering a puppy.
Oh, man. Yeah. I'd be a little scared about that.
Or a goldfish. Hey, let's order this goldfish.
So it's funny because then in the 60s, you started getting some of these other places like Kmart, Target, Walmart, and Sears at the time had always kind of branded themselves as like the lowest price kind of guy. And all of a sudden these guys were doing it better. So then Sears started introducing like not only their discovery card, their layaway, or their credit card, but also the layaway process as well. And so they kind of really started like popularizing that. And at the time that whole in-store credit card, I mean, nowadays, you go anywhere, like you can go to Home Depot and get like an in-store credit card. But back then, I mean, it was like it's whole nother level of thing. And so again, they kind of cemented themselves. And so I remember my parents would, they would go and they would oftentimes for Christmas, they would charge things on their card and then, you know, pay it off. But the whole thing about Sears was that you could like buy stuff up to $200 and then just pay like $10 a month. You know? So, I mean, that's like, of course, nowadays that's nothing. You have credit limits that are in the thousands, but I mean, back then that was like a huge deal, you know? And so it really kind of changed the game to where I guess it making their wish books happen was feasible financially for them. And it has lasted decades after that. So, I mean, it's like a whole thing. It's really interesting.
And imagine back in the day having to use those. Remember those old credit card swipes where you had to put the card
in? Oh,
yeah. And you had to swipe it. Imagine around Christmas time with all those transactions going back, trying to balance out your register and have to look through all these things. And say, what exactly am I in? It's like, I mean, when I first started, my first job was at a ski resort, right?
So okay.
At that time, they still had credit cards, but, you know, you'd have to batch out. When the power went down one time, we had to use that. Worst day of work ever. Hey, let's write this.
And it had the carbon paper, right?
Yep.
You would get one carbon.
And they would get the other.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, we use the only thing we use that for is we write little tickets. So if someone comes in and wants a tree, then we'll write a ticket for them, give them one copy, and send, you know, the other copy with the stalker to go get the tree, and then they go put it up front and hold it for them, and you know, then they can pay for it. But I mean, everything's now computerized, and so it's just so strange, because I remember, you know, seeing that card machine being run, and then they'd tear the paper and all that, and then they'd also get, depending on the store, you might also get another receipt to go along with it, and you know, especially, and then some people would sometimes would pay with credit card and cash, and so then there was like a whole thing there. But I remember my parents would do that. They would go in, say they would like put things on layaway, like some of the bigger things at like Kmart and Walmart, and then they would use some of those in-store credit cards for the, you know, like Sears and Montgomery Ward and stuff like that. So, did y'all didn't have Montgomery Ward up there, did you?
We did not.
Okay. But you were telling me about one called, I think, Hills.
Oh yeah. So Hills is like in the northeast part of the country. It's like it's legendary.
Okay.
I don't know if you ever followed the internet guy, that Pittsburgh dad. He makes jokes about, you know, he's a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and they talk in this Pittsburgh lingo. But in one of the episodes, he goes back in a time machine, and the first place he goes is the Hills. Like, out of all the places you can go. And so I have to kind of describe the little area, you know, where we grew up. We didn't have Walmarts in probably till like the mid-90s.
Okay.
I think they finally came around. I think the first time I've seen a Walmart was actually on Christmas vacation.
Oh, wow.
You know when he puts the light bulbs down and Eddie throws the dog food on it. And like, that's where I saw the Walmart. Yeah, we didn't have that back then, right? So we had the malls, but we had all these other little, you know, value stores like that. We had Hills, which is huge. There was one called James Way. And there's a local one that's still up there. It's called Boscov's. And you can actually see the stickers in the office. Like on the office, they use local store stickers. And every time I see it, when you walk in the Hills, it's kind of like a different experience. I think the only thing I can compare it to, I think Target still has like a little food stand right when you go in with like popcorn and stuff like that.
Oh, right. Yeah.
When you walked in the Hills, and the first thing you saw was this big popcorn stand. And then they had like cotton candy. They had, you know, soft pretzels, they had hot dogs, and they had those icy machines, right?
Yes.
And they had these sports collector cups.
Oh, man.
It would be like baseball, football, but whatever it is, but you would always go in there. And I remember going there with my grandfather, and he would be like, ready for a hot dog and an icy? I'm like, you have to ask him. I'm
with a mullet. Like, I was ready when you said we were going to Hills.
Yeah. So, but their commercials were the creepiest things ever.
I did notice that, yeah.
Yeah, they have this little elf, and it's a guy, but it's in a girl's voice. And their slogan is Hills is where the toys are. And they weren't joking. Like, you went there, and they probably had about 30 aisles worth of toys.
Oh,
every
Nintendo, awesome.
Every Star Wars, anything you wanted, you went there. And when you went to toys, you know, kids' eyes would light up. It was a different experience, and I don't even know what to, you know, compare it to now, because I don't think there's a store where kids get that excited, you know, since the toy stores closed or any of that nature. But
yeah,
it was an experience, and I think they closed in like the mid-90s, because that's when the Walmarts and the Targets, you know, started to become big and put them out.
But
you probably had them down in Southeast Texas. You probably had these little stores, but they had, you know, the best toy. That's where you got your toys. That's where you got all your Christmas decorations. They were cheaper. You know, you had a lot of the times, even when we got our Christmas decorations, they were through like landscaping places. We'd have
like
a shrubbery place, and you know, they're like, where you got your trees? Like, hey, you want to buy your lights as well? It's not like, hey, one stop shop where you can go to Walmart or a Target or, you know, any of those places now. You had to scatter around. But Hills, I'm going to get the shirt. Every year I get a new Christmas t-shirt or a shirt to wear. I saw they have one out with that creepy elf, and it says Toys R Us. So I'm definitely going to get that.
Nice. Yeah, the commercial, because I'd never heard of the, you know, being from South Texas, this wasn't one part of our experience. So I'd never heard of it. So you sent me that link, and that was a weird commercial. Yeah, that elf was a little trippy there. But we did have some of those stores that you mentioned before. And I remember, I don't recall the name. So I had to ask my dad because, you know, he remembers. And so there was this one place, it was called Collector's World. And it was basically, we always called it the Judge. That's why I didn't remember the name, because I was like, yeah, we're going to the Judge, because it was owned by a judge, like an actual judge. And then he was like a huge comic book fan. And he had even created his own comic character and like self-published a few things. And but anyway, he owned the store, and it was like same thing, just toys and tons of comics and starting lineups and like all sorts of things. So it was kind of more of a like a, you know, comic book trading card kind of shop rather than a store like you're describing. But same thing, they had like every single G.I. Joe that you wanted, every single, you know, everything. And he would have them, of course, in packages, but also like on display, like loose, so that you could actually like pick it out. And so if you didn't want to buy it on card, sometimes he would sell those as well. And so that was kind of cool, because if I saved up enough money from like allowances or chores or whatever, then we would go there and I'd get one of those loose ones, because that's more in my, you know, my 7-year-old price range. And but it worked out. And so we would just play and play. I think I got my Spirit, the G.I. Joe, the Native American Spirit.
With a little eagle?
With the eagle, yeah. I think I got him from Collector's World. But, you know, I do recall we would have certain stores, and just like you, we didn't get Target till like the early to mid-90s. Before then, if we wanted to go to Target, it was like we'd have to go to Corpus Christi, which was about like 2.5 hours away. So that was the nearest Target, the nearest Toys R Us. And it was one of those where it's like, okay, we're going to visit your aunt and uncle, and we're also going to do some Christmas shopping while we're there. So, you know, go look around, and your dad and I'll go, you know, go find some toys for you, or go get some of your presents. And so stay over there. Or maybe my dad would take me someplace and my mom would shop while we were with him. He'd kind of distract us, you know, that kind of a thing. But I remember Target, especially later on in the 90s, because we were at the time collecting starting lineup and collecting the X-Men figures.
Yep.
And mostly because we had, you know, we thought we were going to be like rich with the X-Men figures. No, just so you know, guys, they're not worth anything, but you know, we thought we were going to have the whole collection and make it big. And so we would go try to collect them all. And so we were, it's like, ooh, we're going to Target. Ooh, we're going to Toys R Us. And it was a huge thing back then because we didn't have them. So.
And one of these things, and you probably had them down here, like these little mini chain stores had, I was a big snow globe collector, right? And I still kind of am, but I don't know if you had them, but like Hills and other places had these mini snow globes, and they cost like $2 or $3. They had like the blue background, and they had little, you know, they would only last about a year because the water would pop out. So, you know, I would always be wanting a snow globe, and my mom would be like, well, here, get one of these. I'm like, no. And then but every year there was different ones. So when you made these little things, you would go in and you'd be like, oh, I don't have this one. I don't have this one. My mom was like, you have like 30 of them. I'm like, but I don't have this one. She's like, whatever. Just put it in the cart. But, you know, it was, you would find little collectibles, and I don't know if it was just a Northeast thing, but they also had those, they were like little signs of like Santa Claus, and they had them for like Halloween as well, but they were like plastic. And then I'll see if I can find it. I send it to you, but they were always great with the discount decorations, and I wish I still had.
Now they're
super cheesy. It kind of reminds, you know, the way I look at them now is, I don't know if you remember the Christmas episode of Will Smith and Fresh Prince when he first went out there, and you know, it was all fancy, and he's like, oh, here's here's money to go get decoration. Then he went to the store and he got the plastic Santa, and he
I do remember that.
One of my favorite Christmas decorations, and that's what I, you know, it was those little kind of things, and that's where you got them. And
yeah,
you know, you could I think you could still get them a little bit here, maybe at Walmart. I think I saw them. I don't know if you have them at your place, but those like inflatable, you know, not inflatable, they were like hard plastic.
Yeah, like blow molds kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That episode of Fresh Prince was always my favorite. I'm like, yes, bringing South Philly to the rich neighborhoods of LA.
Of LA. So I remember the greatest decoration that we had, or the ones that I always loved the most, were these little Santa figurines. They were only like, I don't know, a few inches tall, and it was one from every country. So for Britain, or for England, it was like the Father Christmas one. For Mexico, for some reason, they put him in a sombrero and called him like Pancho Claus or something like that. It's you know, something ridiculous. So they kind of incorporated like the real, you know, traditions with just some that to fill out, I think. But they were just these little figurines, and my parents would try to collect them. And I don't remember if they were like from Dillard's or JCPenney's, but they would go and they'd get like one or two, you know, each year, and until we eventually had most of the collection. And, you know, it's like these little niche things that you wouldn't think about getting anywhere, but they were like the coolest things. And I think they might have actually found them or first advertised in one of those dream book type things from one of those stores. I want to say it was from Penny's, but it might have been Dillard's. I don't know.
Sending that link that you sent, I never realized. I mean, I didn't start really collecting, you know, ornaments until later, or maybe mid-90s.
Yeah.
Man, there were so many ornaments when you got later into those Christmas books, mm-hmm. like 87, 88, 89, because I was, you know, looking through one of the links you sent me, and this one guy's like, well, here's like 10 pages of ornaments. And man, if I had a time machine, I would love to go back to there and just be like, right? Give me all of these.
Yes, yes. All. I agree completely, like 1,000,000%. It's just, it's something that's missing now. And you go shopping, and we collect Hallmark ornaments too. I love the Hallmark ornaments, but there's something just different about the older ones that they're a little more unique, I think, is what it is. And but I don't know. I remember waiting, because right after Thanksgiving for Black Friday, that's what it was on. You know, that it was game time then.
And I think everyone's gotten spoiled, right? Because and don't get me wrong, my wife makes fun of me all the time, but when I see stuff in like Sam's Club or Costco in like September, I'm like, oh, it's starting.
Back in the day,
it would be right before Black Friday, right before they put it up. It would maybe be a week before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, something like that.
Come up, you knew it was on. You knew the shopping was happening. You knew books were coming out. The Toys R Us experience. You're like, okay, Toys R Us. I can finally go to Toys R Us. Yeah, it's coming. But now you get spoiled. And don't get me wrong. Like I said, I love it. I get super excited. You know, I see Christmas candy. I'm like, yep, here we go. I don't care if it's September, but it was like a switch. It was like, you know, fall, switch. Now it's on.
Yep. Yeah. I it's funny you say that, because, you know, I mean, I work at a Christmas store. We open in July. So it's like Christmas in July, you know, and then you do that whole Hallmark channel. Now they do their 2 weeks of like just Christmas movies. And of course it coincides with their ornament premiere, but you know, they do all that, and it's like Christmas in July is a huge thing. And I know on Tis the Podcast, they talk about, you know, once the school supplies start coming out, that's when they start getting excited for all the events coming up, you know, Halloween, Thanksgiving, especially Christmas, of course. But yeah, you're right. Back then it was about a week before, but as soon as you got that wish book, then you knew something was happening. And so my parents, we would go to my grandparents' house for Thanksgiving dinner. And we would eat there, and then we would stay the night there. And then my parents and some of their friends would either go to like Corpus or go to San Antonio, because that's where, like, you know, the stuff was. We didn't have all the stores down in the valley. So they'd go out there, and then they would just like spend Black Friday all day shopping, getting stuff, and, you know, just trying to get it all done. And so it was like a whole experience for them, to where they had to travel. They had to wait in line for, in some cases, like they got the Cabbage Patch Kids. They like waited hours to get a Cabbage Patch Kid, or the Holiday Barbie. That was another one. Like each year they would go get the new Holiday Barbie, my mom and her friend Yoli, and they would just wait in line forever for it, while my dad and her husband would go get other stuff for the kids that were waiting for, you know? So it's like, it's this big process that starts really, especially then. And sometimes it involved like, you know, a huge thing on layaway, like Voltron or something, you know, the Lions, the Go Lions. And so you'd start slowly paying that down. And other times it was like, no, we have to drive out here to get a Teddy Ruxpin and wait in line forever. And you're right. Their kids are spoiled now. I'm 60, but, but you know, I mean, it's just, it's like a whole thing where, you know, now you want it, you look it up on Google and you press a button, or Amazon, you know, you press a button and it's done.
I mean, Black Friday has changed dramatically, right? So
yeah.
Now it go there and it's deals, 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 deals. Now there might have been deals back then, but Black Friday, what I remember was, you wanted a Cabbage Patch doll, you know, for your family, you were in line in Black Friday. You were there. You wanted the newest G.I. Joe. You wanted this. And some of them were sold out so quickly. So if you weren't waiting in line, that's what Black Friday was. It was, hey, the newest stuff is coming out here. I mean, you have that wish book, but you still not might get it, right? If you, you place this order by mail, you know, that's why you have to call in. But it was completely different. And I listened to the episode, I think, what was it? Julia was on with you, and you were talking about the Cabbage Patch Kids.
Yep, that's the one.
But I remember, and I think there's a video out there from my hometown area, but it was so bad. There was a manager, you know, he would open the door, and he had a baseball bat. Now, imagine a manager with a baseball bat in today's day and age.
That wouldn't fly.
Bashing them off the counter and be like, calm down, calm down. And people were bloody, and, you know, my mom was kind of happy that she had a boy, because those Cabbage Patch dolls lines were ruthless.
Yeah.
They were absolutely ruthless. There was some, you know, toys that I wanted that were bad, but I don't think there was a time to where, you know, I didn't get what something about, I mean, my mom did a great job, but the things that I wanted weren't that hard to get. Now, Nintendo stuff a little bit. But I think by the time all the years came by, she had a hookup at Toys R Us. I really think she did. I think that she's like, let me slip you a 20. Can you give me the new Mario Brothers?
Oh, for real. You know, like and that's probably the way to go, honestly. Of course, you know, like we're saying nowadays, you don't have to go through that. But I mean, I remember that was like a big deal where you would, especially, you know, I remember I got, as I mentioned in that other episode, I got Mega Man 2 for Christmas. And I remember, you know, my dad trying to go out a few times to see if he could find it. And we never did. So finally I was like, okay, well, let me see if I can get it for Christmas, because I haven't been able to get it anywhere else. And so it was kind of one of those things where, you know, sometimes your parents will tell you, well, you know, not yet. Christmas is coming up, so I'm not going to get it for you now. Just wait. And then you have that suspense of, am I going to get it? Is it going to really come in? You know, what's going on? And then, of course, Christmas morning was there. And not always, but often you'd get that toy that you wanted or that game that you wanted, whatever. So it was a lot of fun. And I do kind of miss just the commercials. Like nowadays, the commercials are, yeah, they're Christmassy. But I mean, it's funny looking at these older commercials on YouTube and stuff where they're just like, they're literally just like, what about this for this price? And then we also have these for this price. And I mean, it's like so not produced very well, I guess you could say,
well,
you know,
well, the one thing with all this is, you know, you knew your presents, your core ones, right? You knew you were going to get maybe a Nintendo game, but it was also the suspense of what the other ones were, right? Because you go in there and, you know, nowadays, pretty much everyone knows what you're going to, an idea of what you can get. Now, there's times you can find something special for like any occasion and stuff. But, you know, you would flip through that wish book and you're like, well, what did I get? Or maybe did my mom get me something I don't know about? And there'd be that surprise gift every year that you're like, this is awesome and I never knew it existed. But you never know unless someone bought it or showed it to you. And, you know, I have to give it to my mom and dad because there was always one every year and it would be a toy. And I'm like, I never seen this. And at first you're like, what's this? And then you go along and you're like, that might've been my favorite toy at Christmas.
Yep.
But you know, when it comes down to this and you didn't have access to everything, now you had access to that book, but as you're paging through, there's 200 pages of toys and you might miss something, but every year they did something. I don't know this magical power that they had. But there was always something in that thing that I was like, I was totally caught off guard and I loved it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I remember looking through some of these, it was bringing back memories how some of those lines that like started off later on, their first year, they'd only have maybe like half a page, maybe one page. But I mean, it was always like just a little teeny tiny section. And then the next year, there's like two pages. And then the next year, there's like four pages. So like G.I. Joe and some of those have like, and Transformers have four pages of ads just on all the products. And of course, there's like some of the standards like Optimus and Bumblebee and stuff like that. But then they have other things like Devastator and what's that one that where he was, it was like in parts and then all the little robots would join together to form like one big transformer. I don't remember its name.
But. Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember either offhand.
So I mean, you had like 4 pages of all this stuff with some of these obscure characters that you're like, what is this? I want this. And then if you look really close, there's like this tiny little, maybe, I don't know, 2-inch by 3-inch section with something called like Sectars. I don't know if you remember them, but those are the ones that were like the bug men kind of things that, and they had bugs and they had swords and it was like a medieval kind of, I don't know. It was weird, but it was cool. I remember liking it back in the day. So yeah, it's all these like little random finds that you're like, oh, that's neat. And then you just circle it, but you don't know if you're going to get it. And you just turn it into mom and dad and say, okay, you know, these are what I want for Christmas. I'm going to write to Santa asking for these ones and everything else on this list here, you guys take care of.
So. And I always felt like every year, even though I had so many G.I. Joes, that like they would always find one that I didn't have.
And
I'm, I'm like, did you snoop through my case? And she's like, no, I just kind of have to go off. You know, you know, they would say you'd go in, you would talk to an associate. Hey, what's new this year? And then they would come in. And these people specialized in toys, right? You go to that Yoda Hills and they specialize. They would know, hey, look, these are new this year. They probably don't have this one or any of this kind of stuff. But every year there would, like you said, Transformers and G.I. Joes and all these had, you know, Ninja Turtles. I know that it's like
Ninja Turtles. Yes.
Like, if you remember the Ninja Turtles, they had like characters I never knew existed. They had that bug guy. And they had all these other kind of ones. And I'm just like, is this guy really in the episode? But I was like, I'll still take it. let's play with it.
Well, speaking of Ninja Turtles, I remember later on when they started, just putting them in all sorts of outfits, like in those later series. They were just, come on, put the turtles dressed like Star Trek, and here, make the turtles dress like something else. And I mean, it was just, I don't know, that just reminded me of some of that. And I remember seeing those at like Kmart and Walmart and Toys R Us and all those, and thinking, whoa, it's Cowboy Michelangelo, or, you know, whatever it was. Of course, by that time, I was really getting more into the Nintendo aspect of it, but still, you know, it was cool. And I really enjoyed trying to find some of those things there. So I mentioned the Miss Pigtails. One thing that I forgot to mention that I really wanted to talk about was the Mickey Mouse watch was also really popular in that 1933 catalog.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. I mean, Disney was not as big as it was, but it was still a big item back then.
Yeah. I wonder how much they charge to license that out, right? Compared to nowadays. Oh man, yeah. But then there was, of course, we mentioned KB Toys that was in the mall. They actually started as a wholesaler for candy, and then back in 1922, and then in the 40s they became a toy wholesaler. And it wasn't until the 70s where they really started doing retail in malls, and so then they pretty much exclusively became like the toy store of the mall. And that's kind of how they branded themselves for years after that, until then we started getting things like Circus World and some of those others. And of course, KB eventually went the way of the Dodo, but I have fond memories of walking in and, you know, you'd see like all the new stuff that they really want to sell for Christmas. They start putting that stuff out in November or early December. And you'd go and just hold on to it for a little bit and just kind of look in the back and just everything, and then start looking at all the other aisles. And I mean, I was like, I really was a kid in like a candy store, except in this case, toy store.
I don't think we had KB until like the mid 90s, but we did have a Toys R Us. Mm. And I think I was telling you this when I messaged you, but when the Nintendo era came around, the two big things that I liked at Toys R Us were the bikes, right? Cause they always had the bikes. If you want to go check out the bikes.
Yeah.
But the Nintendo aisle was, when you saw it, like the fat kid me, my eyes just lit up. And I went in there and I'm like, you had this plastic cover. You had the front of the cover. Yep. And then you had, you know, pick it up to see the back. And if you wanted it, you had to grab this paper slip.
Yes.
You had to take it to the front.
Yes.
And then I used to call it the cage, because you'd have to take it to this gigantic cage in the corner. Yeah. And you'd be like, oh, here's my slip. Can you please give me my Nintendo game?
Yes.
But it would just be an aisle, aisles and aisles, where you'd just be flipping, flipping, flipping. And when you went in there, your parents knew we're going to be in here for an hour. Like, yeah, you're going to be flipping, you know, try to find a game, looking back and forth. But yeah, you had a cage. Like, you saw the cage, you know, you would get excited, like, oh, there it is. Because you couldn't grab it right there. You had to walk
all the way. You had to go all the way to the front.
Yeah, they scan it, and then you go back, and they were like, oh, here you go. And then it was like bulletproof glass at the time. You had to slide it under and take it and walk out. But that was still to this day, that's like my favorite Nintendo memory, is going into, you know, a Toys R Us and just seeing that aisle and just having to flip.
I remember, because Toys R Us, you know, they always had the entrance side, and then it was kind of like a snake essentially, yep, thing of, you know,
big thing where you had to get through this random stuff that you didn't care about.
Exactly. Like, oh, yeah. All this, you're like, yeah. Supplies, let's get this out of the way.
Yeah. All this. Here's a pinata. I don't care.
Yeah.
Get me to the toys. I mean, where's the G.I. Joes? Get me out of here.
Yeah, exactly. And so you're going through like this maze of aisles just to get to like the main toy section. Then once you get to that, I mean, it was like, of course, as a kid, it seemed huge, but I mean, it was probably only maybe like, 20 aisles, but it seemed like there was just a million aisles and they were just so tall and long, and you're like, oh, I'm going to be here forever.
I think they really did that big, right? So the reason I say this is because there is an old Toys R Us store over here in Dallas, and they turned it into a Total Wine, you know, the spirit store.
Oh, okay.
And it's the biggest liquor store I've ever been in, but it's an old Toys R Us. So now I thought the same thing. I'm like, yeah, they probably weren't that big. No, it was big. Like this place. Now, granted, they had a big warehouse too, where they stored,
right,
you know, all the games, and then you had the pit, you know, the cage, but yeah, it's big. They're as big as you thought they were.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I remember being huge. And then same thing. It's like when you were going to check out, you'd had to go to like through a specific way. And then they had their checkouts. And of course that led to the exit. So they really had the flow down that a lot of the stores like Sears and I mean, even Walmart and Kmart, they really didn't have that kind of a flow going. So I always enjoyed that part of it that, you know, it's like, you're on a quest, essentially. You know, it's like your own adventure that you got to get through all this stuff before you finally get to what it is that you're looking for. And so that always made me.
I think they had a lot of stuff placed to where they knew you. They always got me because, at least in our Toys R Us, right where you checked out, it was the baseball cards.
Oh, yeah.
Everything. And then you turn that corner, and my mom would always try to veer me over to the left, and I was like, baseball cards. And she just eyes roll. Because they had you, right? It's just kind of like when you go to the stores now, like Walmart, you'll put like, you know, the candy bars, but they would put things that were smaller and you can get, you know, pack of baseball cards, here's a dollar, you know, other stuff that you can get close to the register, but they had it mapped out so well that they hit every like demographic and age group to a point. Right when you got to those aisles, there was little things that would be at the end of the aisle that you'd be like, still pick it up. And I mean, they dominated, you know, in the 80s, right? There was, I mean, you had other places, but they had that down pat. They sure did.
Yeah. I remember, I mean, just every time we were going to Corpus, the very first thing we would ask was, can we go to Toys R Us? And of course, my parents already knew we were going to. So they're like, yeah, we can. And then especially, you know, during this time, so we tried not to go because, of course, my parents were teachers and we were in school. So, you know, we tried not to go during that period from like Thanksgiving to Christmas. So instead what we would do is maybe between Halloween and like Thanksgiving, sometimes on a weekend, we'd go visit my aunt and my uncle. And while we were out there, we'd stop by and that was like the first step to my parents getting an idea of what we wanted. And so then they'd start writing things down. And then of course we'd get the book. And of course, Toys R Us had their own version of the wish book as well. And so then we'd start circling through that. And I don't remember it being quite as big, but of course they didn't have all the extra stuff like, you know, tools and, you know, watches and things like that. It was mostly just toys, but we'd start circling. And then of course we'd get that big wish book and we'd circle even more. And so now my parents had like a whole map. And like, I always imagine, and I know it didn't happen, but I always, for some reason in my head, imagine like one of those, like when they're trying to catch a serial killer, you know, and they have everything on the board. Yeah. They have the lines, you know, for the conspiracy theories and the string all over. And I just picture my parents just trying to look through that and figure out exactly what we wanted for Christmas.
So one thing back then too, it felt like every year there was a new catchy toy, even if it wasn't even if it wasn't part of G.I. Joe or Nintendo. So Jerry, what was your one obscure toy that you got around Christmas time that you remember that sticks out to you?
Ooh, that's a good question. So for me, I think
it doesn't have to be a toy; it could be like any gift. Because mine, I'm going to tell you, I don't know if they had them down here, but I'll tell you mine. But mine's clothing, so it doesn't have to be a toy. But what was like something that you got you didn't know, you really didn't know of, you're like, it was a fad that year, and it was like, oh, this is pretty cool, you know, I really enjoyed this one.
So I think it would be, there were some cards, it was some Marvel cards, and it was just like trading cards, but they had Marvel characters on them, and I just started like getting into Marvel characters at the time. I was more in like Batman and stuff like that, and I remember my dad, I think it was like a box. I think, I don't know if it was for the family. It was like for all three or all three boys or what, but it was a box of cards. And so we would just went through it and we started, you know, okay, I got this one. My dad divided them up and then we started trading. Okay, here's these, I need this one. Okay. And so eventually we all three ended up with like complete sets of these Marvel cards. And we put them in the plastic pages and the binders and everything. And just like we would with baseball cards. And it was cool. I mean, it was like the most unexpected random thing, but like we dug it, you know, we really dug it. What? And so yours was clothing?
Yeah. So if you remember, there was a lot of weird fads, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was late 80s, early 90s. You had this stuff like, remember the hypercolor shirts where you go and you'd
colors.
The one gift I got, it was just a random gift. And I still remember, and I have the shortest attention span sometimes, but I got this pair of gloves, and I think they were called Freezy Friendly or Freezy Friendlies or something like that. So what they were a pair of gloves that you put on, and I think they had them in boots too.
Okay.
What they did is they had a design on them, and when you saw them, they were like white or gray. But when you put the when they got cold or you put them in the freezer, they would turn and they would be like a spaceman or something like this. And at first I'm like, I don't want gloves. You know, I'm a kid. It's like getting underwear, right?
Yeah, so yeah.
You get these gloves and my mom's like, put them in the freezer. And you go and you put them in the freezer and it changed to a spaceman. I'm like, this is great. Like, I never thought I'd be so excited as a kid for a pair of gloves.
But that's
like,
awesome.
My mom was like, I knew I'd get you here. Like, you know, it was the most obscure gift, but there was so many of those things, back in the day, and it's just like,
yeah,
where are they now? I'm sure they're out there. Maybe I just don't pay attention, but they're like 1 year fads. And I think they had them in like, you know, kids' boots too. They had them in like boots, and you know, it was a girl, you would put them in the thing and it would be a unicorn or something of that nature. But I never thought I'd be that excited for a pair of gloves.
No, and I remember every time we were going to get clothing, it was always in one of those white gift boxes. And so, you know, it was very rectangular in shape and you knew exactly what it was. And so that was like the sign that, okay, this is clothes. It's going to be a shirt or some pants or something. And so you'd open it up and sure enough, it was a shirt or pants or whatever. But go ahead.
Now, so at your mall, did you have Hickory Farms down here?
I don't recall Hickory Farms. I mean, of course.
You know what Hickory Farms is?
Yes.
It's kind of like, they used to have the little stores in the middle of the mall. And my grandfather, I swear, if he didn't get a Hickory Farms for Christmas, at least one, he would kind of be like Ralphie's dad in A Christmas Story. He's like, I didn't get a tie this year. That's how he was like. If he didn't get that salami, you know, he had all his heart attacks, but he waited for that salami, all this other kind of stuff. And, you know, that was one thing that the malls brought out was stuff like that. And
yeah.
The other thing that was huge about the malls, and I think you said they still might have it, but, you know, the A.C. Slater Christmas wrapping.
The wrapping, right? Yeah.
So when you would go and, like, when my parents would go shopping together, they would have to shop for themselves. So what they would do is, you know, my dad's on the other side of the mall. My mom would go get something, and she'd run the JCPenney's and get it wrapped. Right. So you would know, hey, look, we get there. But, that to me is the biggest thing that's missing from, you know, the Christmas experience. And it still might be there. But every store had it. They're like, would you like to be wrapped with, you know, wrapping like that? So if you watch Love Actually, they do it
in Love Actually. Yep.
Do you want to wrap this? And I mean, I haven't gone to the mall recently, but that was huge. Like it would be funny because you look at it and there's so much wrapping paper. And I had friends and this like Slater, hey, what are you doing? We got a Christmas job. What are you doing? I'm wrapping gifts.
And it's funny because I'm terrible at wrapping presents. I mean, I'm okay, but I wouldn't make it there. So in 1982, the Wish book actually used a Currier Knives print on their cover, but most of the time it was and this is the thing that I remember most besides, you know, just digging through them, was that it was always like a couple of kids and maybe Santa or like kids in the tree at the present. I mean, it was always something like really, really Christmassy. And it just kind of like, as Tis a Podcast guys say, it hits you in the Christmas feels, you know? And so I miss, because Target and Walmart, they still will come out with like a little toy thing. And it's usually only like maybe 20 pages long. With, you know, and it's really mostly just like their logo with like a couple of toys on the cover. And so it's like, where's that buildup of Christmas, you know, that you used to have, and it's not there anymore. And so that, it kind of makes me a little sad for my children. But
yeah, just like we were talking, like, you know, with those Christmas commercials, they're just so different, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you get some cool Christmas commercials, but the ones that still get me and we actually did this when we went up to Hershey, Pennsylvania, because it's from up where I'm at. But the bells, right?
Oh yeah, the Hershey Kisses, yeah.
And when you're up there, and when you go to the chocolate factory around Christmas time, you can actually point and you do the bells yourself, which is kind of cool.
That's awesome. I mean,
the books, the Christmas commercials, and you know, the one thing I do remember about the Christmas books, like, there were awkward family photos, right? Everyone took them back their time. Yeah. But there was one of the, I don't know if it was Sears or JCPenney, but you would go there and when you look at it, like this kid dropped its, you know, her glove and she's picking it up. And I'm thinking to myself, with all the photos you took, you couldn't find a better one where the kid wasn't getting down to picking up the glove. But those books were cheese galore, man. You would go in there, you know, people were posing for the clothes and doing that. And, it, you know, most of them were kind of like, you know, the album covers from the 80s, like Michael Jackson laying on the side.
Doing the lean. You got to do the lean.
Doing the clothes, you know.
That's how you knew the album was good, man.
Yeah, right. I mean, there was like four or five albums in the 80s where I think it was like him, Lionel Richie.
Yeah.
So they all did the lean. But, you know, the books were just so classic. And like, and it would be, you know, stuff that you wouldn't buy. I remember every year I begged for. I don't know if you remember, but they had the little football sets where you got the old Hutch helmet and it came with the football.
Yeah.
And pads. And my mom was like, I am not buying you that. And every year I'd ask for it, but she's like, look, you'll wear it once and you're never going to do it. I'd rather buy you a Nintendo game than to get this. But and they sold, right? Like you'd always see your friends with it or do whatever. And it's, once again, it goes back to you had three places to buy.
Pretty much.
You
know, yep.
What are you going to get? But yeah, this some of the things they sold were just so classic, and the commercials, and
I just like how they all kind of had their own little jingle. You know, it's something different, and yeah, you still kind of get that. But a lot of the music, if you listen to commercials nowadays, if there's not an explicit jingle, a lot of the music is just very bland. Like it's just pretty much that kind of smooth jazz backing kind of a thing, or occasionally it'll be like a, you know, some sort of pop song kind of rhythm underneath, but most of it is just, it's just very bland commercial stuff. And I get it. You know, you don't want to alienate anybody. So you kind of go with like the most middle of the road thing, but it's still got to be kind of peppy. But I love how they're singing their own carols that they made up, and it's all about their store and the toys in their store and stuff like that. And so I kind of miss that about some of our commercials, but you know, the commercials, you had that with like, with Black Friday waiting in line, you add that with the Wish books, you add that with you going to the malls to see Santa and asking him, and the decorations that were those classic and tinsel everywhere. I mean, it's like a whole atmosphere that you don't really see a lot, which is a shame.
Yeah. And even like it was old school, even when you were waiting in line for Santa, right? So when you're waiting in line for Santa, it would be this house from 1950s. This thing is so old, it has to be Santa's, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If you're sitting there, like nowadays, it's all fancy and to a point. Hey, look, you know, here's all this. But no, it had that mothball grandma smell.
Yeah.
You went there, and when you got up there, it was some guy probably who just ate a box of Hickory Farm cheese, and you were sitting there, kind of like when Buddy went up and it smelled, you smell like cheese. Like
beef and cheese, yeah.
So, you know, it was just that feel, and that's just the way it was. And, you know, but the two downfalls, right, to this back in the day, and you probably remember this, because you used to be able to smoke in the malls, right?
That's so true, yeah.
You go in there. You would be, even as a kid, you'd be like, oh, smoke. You
know? Yeah.
Even though you didn't know how bad it was for you at the time, it'd be like, this stinks. And you want to be in there, but it's when it's super packed, you know, that's the thing. And the other bad thing was, and I mean, it's bad even now, but the parking, right?
Yeah, well, that's always
one of the places you can do is going shopping. Everyone is at the same spot. Like, there is nowhere there. And in Pennsylvania, sometimes you didn't get the snow that early, but there was no place to put it. So they would shove it, and there would be big mounds of snow to where you'd go. So if they push it all the way to the lot and everyone's trying to get to the mall, there's no parking. So you're driving around for 20 minutes to try to find a spot. Everyone's like, this park far away. And they're like, no, they're gone. But I mean, I remember Julie and I we went to the mall when we were Christmas one time, and I joked that I'm not going to pay, the mall here had valet parking. I'm like, I'm not going to pay valet parking for Christmas. If I go shopping at a mall again, I am going to pay valet parking.
Yeah, like, yeah, for real.
I was like, North Park? That's not the Christmas spirit. I remember, shopping in the 80s, and granted that I wasn't driving, but yeah, we'll drive around and find a parking spot. Here's my $5. Take it, guys. Well, I'm not
was it at the North?
Anything, but yeah,
North Park Mall.
Yeah. And I'm just like, and I think they had it. Did they have it over there at the Parks Mall in Arlington?
I don't recall. I mean, they probably do. I wouldn't doubt it, but I don't remember. Because nowadays we try to avoid the mall at Christmas time.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like back when like we had to go there. So, but we do go, and it's funny you were talking about like all the newer stuff. A couple of years ago, we took my daughter and my son, I think he was only one at the time, to this. It was like a whole DreamWorks Santa experience where like you go and meet Santa, but you get there and then there's like a whole like show where you're actually sitting in like a makeshift sleigh and there's like a screen and everything. And it's like you're almost like virtual reality or like a simulator kind of a thing. And so you're on the simulator of the sleigh flying to the North Pole. Then you get there and the doors open and then there's Santa. And then you ask you what you want and take, I mean, but it's like a whole thing. And it's like, wow, I remember just like waiting in line and then you go and talk to them, and maybe you'll get a candy cane at the end. You know, that's about it.
I think our simulator back in the 80s was having to sit in the hump in the car. Remember? Cause most of the cars didn't have like the full thing.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And you had that little hump. He's like, you're not technically supposed to sit there.
Nope.
But you did anyway. Or
well, you had three kids. What were you gonna do?
my buddy's dad had the old school car where you had the back seat. Remember, it was kind of like in the very back where the trunk is.
The back seat
and you could do the window, and there were seats. But yeah, riding the hump up, 20 miles to go to the Christmas shopping. That's my sleigh ride.
That's your sleigh ride. Yeah. Oh man. So Vinny, I got to ask you, what would you say? And I know we've kind of talked a lot about it, but what would you say out of all these memories here would be your happiest memory of Christmas shopping and wish books and everything before Christmas time back in the day?
I think it's just the wish books in general, right?
Cause
you look back at it and you spend a lot of, you spend time with your family a lot, but the wish book, you would sit down and, you would sit down as a family and say, hey, look, oh, what are you looking for? And all this kind of stuff. And like my wife was saying afterwards, she, Thanksgiving, she would sit down, but you look forward to that. And you knew that, this is, I'm going to sit down with my family. We're going to, communicate. Here's holidays.
Yeah.
Sitting down. I mean, there's not a bad thing about it, but I mean, I think that was my favorite memory was spending time with my mom and my dad, circling stuff, talking about it. And getting that done. And, communication's lost a lot, even when you're a kid, but I really appreciated sitting down with my family and going over all this kind of stuff.
Right on. Yeah. Mine would definitely be something similar, because normally my parents would go, like I mentioned, Black Friday, they'd go leave us with grandma and go do their thing. And when they'd come back, they'd usually have some sort of book for us to look through and circle. And so it was that waiting for them to come back, knowing that when they do come back, I'm going to have something really awesome to look forward to. So, so I think that that would be my happiest moment there. But so now we come to my favorite part of the show, which is what I like to call gag me with a spoon. So yeah, this is where we do our best impressions of our least favorite part. And for this, we actually scoured the internet for several commercials of Kmart and Sears and Hills and a few other things, JCPenney's here and there. And so as a guest, I'll let you go first. Of course, listeners, you guys are going to vote on this, but Vinny will go first and just kind of set us, you know, set up what it is that you're going to be doing.
Yeah. And it's not really a worse, but you guys are going to hate me because it's going to be stuck in your head for the next week.
Sounds worse to me. Yeah.
And I'm a terrible singer and I will apologize in advance, but here is me doing the Toys R Us jingle. Ready?
All right.
Hit it. I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. There's a million toys at Toys R Us that I can play with, from bikes to games to video games. It's the biggest toy store there is. I don't want to grow up because if I did, I wouldn't be a Toys R Us kid. And I know I screwed up. It's trains and I messed up the word, but you guys got the point.
So that was good, by the way. I actually went with Sears. It was a Sears commercial from 1984, and it's a lady saying this, and she's like, "Okay, I'm gonna try my best." She's wearing like a green robe. It's like that typical 80s type robe. That's
no commercial you're talking about.
And she's like, "There are gifts that Sears will monogram. How about something colorful?" It's like, so like, what are you guys doing here? But for me, it was just that piece of dialogue was it was just a little cringeworthy there. But
so since we're on this topic, I have to say this. I agree with Anthony, and I think Christmas in Hollis, Queens is awesome. So
right on.
He did a great job on the, you know, that part last week singing the song. And but yeah, I'm a big fan, and Die Hard is a Christmas movie, guys. So I'm just gonna, yeah. I'm pushing your button, so I might as well push them all.
I really don't mind the Christmas in Hollis one, and I will accept, as I told Anthony, I'll accept that some people think Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
Hey, if you start with the Christmas song, it's a Christmas movie to me. Sorry.
There you go. That's the Todd Killian way as well. If it even remotely mentions Christmas, it's technically Christmas movie. So. I'm okay with that. I don't mind some people thinking that, so that's fine. So G.I. Joe taught us that knowing is half the battle. What would you say is the other half?
At Christmas time shopping, if knowing is half the battle, you know that parking stinks, so make sure someone else drives you.
No, that's a good one. That's way better than mine. Mine was just a... whatever you're looking through, make sure you skip to the toy section and to circulate what you want. I couldn't think of anything that was.
Yeah, you know that pages 200 to 400 is where you're going.
That's where you're at. That's where it's at.
Just going in yearly.
Oh, man. So, Vinny, it's been really fun talking with you and reminiscing about all these things from the 80s that I hadn't thought about in a long time. Any last comments or thoughts or anything you want to leave us with? Anything you want to plug?
No, I mean, I appreciate you having me on. I mean, I love all the podcasts. You know, it was great to have Dwayne on. You know, I love, you know, Tinsel Tunes and the guys from Tis the Podcast and Tim Babb and that guys. I heard you guys talking about the wrestling one. If you do the wrestling one, I want to be a second guest. I think Anthony said he wants to be on. But no, I'm not any, you know, I don't have the patience to do a podcast like you do. The only thing I'm known for is my dogs. They have their own Instagram. It's at Huey and Bax. They're pretty popular.
Okay.
That's the most thing I'll ever get to popular. So, you know, I think I gave a lot of shout outs, but my dogs get the shout out here. Right, boys?
Yep. At Huey and Bax. Right on. So check it out. Yeah. And then go ahead and follow them while you're at it. Sounds like a lot of fun. So with that in mind, again, let me say thanks. It was a lot of fun. And I'm going to say it's the Toys R Us time of year. So check us out on our social media pages, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you want a great deal on stuff at the mall, leave us a review on iTunes. Not only does it help us reach more people, but you also get a free sticker. So don't forget to vote. Later, dudes.